has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And I guess we have a couple callers calling in tonight, so I'll sure let you know when they call in, and looking forward to that. Sent a couple more books out last week. And so encouraged by that, and I would encourage people to get your book, Pastor Cox, and read it, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It is a good read. It's an excellent book. It is.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Well, we do welcome everybody tonight to Hope is Alive. We thank you for taking time out this Wednesday evening and joining us. It's the show about deliverance, the show about testimony, the show about the captives being set free from evil spirits. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you could get that book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Praise the Lord that it's getting out. Richard sent a couple out. That means the word's getting out, and people are striving, looking, and needing. So we are grateful for that, but you can get that from Richard by calling the office at 307-742-7582. Let them know you need that book, and he will certainly get out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering, but certainly if it's something you need and it's not within your funds, we would get it out to you. Or you can go to the website, deliveranceusa.com, and that's a little bit more extensive than the book. Has training in there. Videos, self-deliverance, prayers to print off. It's not any better, any worse than the book. Some people like to learn that way, and some people like to learn the other way. The only thing that I see it probably has advantages are the videos, the training, and taking people through deliverance. But both of them are an excellent tool to have. And Pastor, I gave those out last week. I was with one of my customers, overheard a conversation. The Spirit tuned me in. I'd helped one of them with a little bit of deliverance, not going through full deliverance, but helped them by giving some stuff. And I gave another one the book. I gave them the website. So I got faith they're going to be looking more into it. It was just a simple case of where a woman was having trouble forgiving herself for something she had done to her husband many years ago. He said he'd forgiven her, and she just struggling. And I said, well, that is something that you need to work on. And I gave her the book, gave her the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties, talked to her about how she needed to forgive herself, because if she's already confessed to Jesus, Jesus has forgiven her, and the only one that's holding it over you now is yourself and the enemy. And then highly encouraged her, if she had the time, to get out to Oklahoma City or contact me, and we would figure out some way to get her deliverance.
All right. Well, praise God.
Now,
we've been having a pretty good volume of sale of the books on Monday nights, probably averaging about 6 to 7, 8, sometimes about 10 of the books during the break where people come up to buy it. Well, I had a similar experience of what you
Well, maybe they're spending their stimulus check on it.
Yeah, that's possible.
So. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
Well, I had a neighbor today. It's kind of similar to what you did. I was not able to do a full deliverance. He was bleeding in the throat, not all the time. And they were getting ready to do some work on him. I don't know exactly what, the medical people. But also, he'd been down in the back for ages. And when I'd see him, I'd been after him to come over. I'd pray with him on his back. And, of course, as you know, we don't pray at Deliverance Ministries. We command. This is the 17 cases we had Monday night. None of the ministers were praying. They were to the Father in Jesus' name to do something, rather doing what Jesus did, told us to do in Mark 16:17, to cast out demons, to heal the sick in his name. John 14:12, to do his same works. And that's what I did. He only had about 30 minutes, came over to the house, and he was hung up on forgiving himself, which is so common. This man was in the Navy for many decades on an aircraft carrier. In fact, he was a weightlifter and had won number one position weightlifting on the carrier. You know, there's like 6,000-7,000 people on the carrier. Mm-hmm. Big guy, been in a lot of fights, he said. And he said he didn't think God would forgive him. And, of course, I went through that. I was armed to tell him why he would, that he'd already, once he did, his sins were forgotten. Anyway, we did that, and then I took authority over any spirits of infirmity causing that bleeding in his throat, and any spirits of infirmity in the back area, commanding him to go in Jesus' name. And then when we finished, I also did the limb check, and it seemed equal, but it may have adjusted while I was telling him for spirit of infirmity to go. I thought about that later. Anyway, his back was healed, no pain, and I didn't know about the bleeding yet. It'll probably take a few days or a week to find out about that. But it's sometimes even in 30 minutes, Ralph, we can do a lot.
We can. We can. It's just part of being in season and out of season. And, you know, you don't have to. I mean, obviously, in the situation I was in, you know, I work with hairstylists, and the hairstylist, the one that I had given the soul ties to, she had some problems with her husband in the past, and I've testified this before. I just gave him the sheet on the breaking of soul ties to forgive each other, and next time I saw her, like 5-6 months later, she talked about how their marriage was stronger than ever. They were going through some ministry work so they could work with other people, and when I had come in last week, she said, "That's the guy I was telling you about." So, you know, there's Holy Spirit coordinating. That, because she had no idea I was coming. She had no idea whatsoever I was coming. And and I just overheard her say that as I was talking to someone else. And I just sat back down, and it was a woman and her daughter, both grown, and their daughter had children as well. And I talked to him about the generational curses and witnessed some things with them. And and just talked about how that, you know, the power of the blood, how it could take care of all that stuff. And they were very, very interested, but it's just a matter of being ready and having, you know, you may not have that material with you. I just happen to carry it with me. But it's not that hard to give out a website, deliveranceusa.com. You know, and it's not that hard. It's not that hard to order a few books and just have them with you to hand out. I'm a little bit more careful about who I hand the books out to. I won't hand those out just to anybody like I used to. I try to look at someone who's really striving for it, because I just don't want it to be given to someone and it winds up with a little dust on it. But you can give out the sheets. You know, you can print those off at the website there, the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties. Or you can tell them about doing the door closing prayers. There's just so much that's available there that doesn't cost anything other than a little of your time, and to give it out. And it's just being ready and being prepared. And I just praise the Lord that He coordinated the whole thing right there. And you know, I'm sure He coordinated with you, with your neighbor, happened to walk by each other at the right time.
You know, while you travel for business, you're kind of a traveling preacher, too, a minister.
Yeah, I tell people at times I'm kind of like a tent maker, like Paul. Except, I think Paul a little more successful than I was, but I still try to do my best.
Right.
So, well, Pastor, do you have any updates with the time we have here for a Monday night?
Well, we had 17 cases. And I was upstairs this time. I go up once a month to teach the trainees and advanced training ministers and all. Chris Davis did the introduction and the door closing prayer. But it was a great, smooth evening. It just was just another one of those great Monday nights. 17 people. You know, that's... I'm always on this huge high afterwards, as well as all the ministers. And as usual, they kept talking after everybody had left among themselves. You know, the ministers like to share their cases and all. And then Richard and I, Richard at Deliverance Ministries and I were locking doors, closing up at 11:30, and they finally moved out into the parking lot. Still talking.
Sharing war stories.
That's right. You can't talk this subject with everybody talk freely. So when the ministers are together, they can really go after it with each other, talking and everything.
I know it is kind of refreshing when you can get around people that are like-minded, and you can say things and they don't look at you like you're kind of weird.
Yes, I understand. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so it is good, and I know that just everybody that goes there to Deliverance Ministries, it's the ministers and team lead, you know, the teams that help out. They all go to church somewhere. And it's funny, I've heard a majority of them say, you know, I go to so-and-such church on Sundays, and I go over here on Wednesday night, but I really consider this my church over there at Monday nights. And I can see where they say that. I mean, obviously, they all belong to the body, but I understand what they're meaning by that, because they get the chance to do, you know, get the chance to talk and share things and express things that they wouldn't be able to at the other places, because they look at them like they were weird. So, but Pastor, we don't mind looking weird on this show, but we've got Christy on the line. I bet she's going to come on and tell some weird stories too.
Well,
I don't know about
probably
that.
Probably so. Hi, Christy.
How you
so
doing?
So glad you called in. Well, I'm blessed down here in Oklahoma, you up there in Illinois. How about going ahead and giving some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you, what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and so on.
All right. Well, I had one of those childhoods that not many people had, and by that I mean it was without a lot of trauma. I had a wonderful childhood. I had great parents. And it wasn't until I was much older that I began to realize that even though I had lived a life that was pretty much very moral, and I considered myself a good person, there was a recognition when I was in college my sophomore year that that didn't equate to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it was actually in a sorority house, if you can imagine that, that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and that's where I started my walk with Him, and that's been almost 40 years ago now. So that's how it started for me.
Yep.
Pastor, are you there?
Yeah, yes, can you hear me?
I was making an adjustment in my earphones here. Did
okay.
I miss something?
Well, no, she just had stopped speaking, and it was time you started asking questions, and you weren't there, so I was getting ready to start asking Christy some questions.
I just taken them off for a second, and that's when you asked.
Well,
So what was it, Christy?
Okay.
All right, so you want me to
go
from there?
What was your question? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Oh, I didn't have a question.
Everett. She didn't ask a question, Everett. She didn't ask a question. She just kind of gave a little bit of her background, had paused, and that's where you normally ask a few questions about deliverance, and that's what I meant by there. So, Christy, just go ahead and feel free as the Spirit leads to talk, and Pastor will ask questions as he feels the Spirit led to do that.
Okay. Well, so I began my walk with the Lord in my sophomore year in college, and from there, after I graduated, I went to work at Kanakuk Camp, which is a Christian camp in Missouri, and met some really wonderful people. I was raised in a Lutheran church, but as I got older and I began to meet people from different backgrounds, different denominations, I kind of realized there was a lot missing. And so I began to investigate and really read my Bible for the first time, I think, when I was a college student, that I read the Bible for the first time. You know, in the Lutheran Church, you will repeat certain passages that the pastor will ask you to repeat, but I had never read it on my own. So I really started to dig in and try to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could. But it wasn't until many years later after that I really started to consider some of the deeper issues. I had seen some things that I was very skeptical about, and I wanted to really dig down deep and try to find some answers for myself instead of relying on what people said. And it took me a while to finally get to the place where I realized that, you know, the Holy Spirit was a component that was missing. After I was born again in college, it was probably another, I would say, 20 years before I began to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've all come from somewhere on that. I certainly did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I was 44 years old, yet I was born again when I was 13. So that obviously gave you a big boost in the gospel.
It sure did. And then it wasn't until, but even after that moment, it was still several years before I even heard about deliverance. And it wasn't through a church. It was through different people. And so there again, I was kind of diving into a deeper level of trying to understand what this meant and really trying to understand what was accurate and true versus, you know, somebody's emotional experience or what they wanted me to believe. I really took some time. I guess it's kind of how I'm wired to try to work this kind of stuff out for myself, because I had such a I guess I had such an aversion of being misled or not understanding something. So it was several years later, I would say probably within the last 10 years of my life, that I heard about deliverance for the first time through people, through a couple of different people.
Did you get deliverance then?
Yeah, I started going through some then, and I listened to a lot of podcasts, and there were two people specifically that I listened to that talked a great deal about it, and then our church actually did a workshop about it about 3 years ago. I went through that, and I thought that was very informative, and it was actually quite... I go to a big church in Central Illinois, and for them to step into the arena of deliverance, I think was very risky. It certainly wasn't a safe move for them, but it was very well attended. I think it was very well done. And after that mini conference that I went through there, I felt like I had a big understanding and was able to get some deliverance in my life. That was kind of my first experience with it.
Praise God. So,
right.
How did you?
It took a long time.
Hear about? Yeah. Well, you were learning right along all the time, and growing on it. So, how did you happen to hear about Deliverance Ministries?
Well, Everett, your daughter was a sorority sister of mine. So, I knew about it a long time ago, but it was just something that. I wasn't ready for, or I put on the back burner for whatever reason. I just did not incorporate it into my life at the time when I could have. I don't know whether that was it was probably a misstep on my part, but that's what happened. And so I didn't pick that up until much later. Many, many years had gone by. You know, I think at the time you were just getting started with this because I graduated from college in 1983, and I think you, if I remember correctly, you started this in 1984, but I think it was the early 80s. So it was all kind of brand new for all of us.
Yes, I started in it in 78.
Oh, wow, okay.
You know, after I lost my other daughter, and I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then I heard about deliverance, and I was curious about it. It sounded far out in this space age, evil spirits hanging around, you know. And
right.
I was curious and set in on some actual deliverances. And we had a church that was doing it and saw evil spirits talk out of Christians' mouths. And that's when it soaked in with me, this is real. Maybe I'd better learn about it. And I went from there.
Right. Well, I wish it hadn't taken me so long, but, you know, finally, I think I've got a level of understanding that I haven't had before, and I definitely think that it's something that the church is missing and the church desperately needs. I did notice when I was there 2 weeks ago or last week, you know, I think that your crowds, I asked you if how many people normally attend on a Monday night, and you said about 10 to 12, maybe 15. I think there were 25 or more there last Monday, not 2 nights ago, but a week prior to that. And, you know, with everything going on, I think people are just desperately seeking answers. And, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes the church just doesn't want to pick it up. So, you know, I'm grateful that you did, and you've got the experience under your belt that you do, because I think that it's extremely beneficial to people, because there's not that many people out there discussing it.
No, and you know, the churches, Christy, if you put that problem list in front of them, that two-page list of problems that are common with people, and that's what we do when people come from ministry, you give them out on a clipboard, and they circle the ones that apply to them. And most people would circle about three dozen as a rule. And that would be true in any congregation, more than likely. And yet those people never get this kind of ministry and never get free of these spirits that are influencing them and stealing their abundant life. So it's sad, but at least we're doing some. Well, what was your deliverance like Christy, when we got into it?
What was interesting was there were some things that surfaced that I had never once in my life thought about. And one example I can give you was because the childhood that I had was really without any trauma or much trauma at all, you were asking me some questions, and I was born in Clearwater, Florida. And my next-door neighbor was my best friend, and our mothers were best friends. And when I was 8 years old, my parents told us that we had to move. We were moving to Ohio. And I remember standing out in the front yard, and our moms were crying, and all I could really process was that everything that I knew and understood, I was leaving. And, you know, when you're 8 years old, that's really not something you can process that well or that easily. But looking back on it, I think it was a moment in my life that I hadn't recognized prior that did bring some trauma, that did bring some chaos into my life. And it was just, it wasn't anything that was huge or, you know, earth-shattering, but I think it was one of those moments that got some healing that perhaps I hadn't had healing in before because I'd never recognized it before. So that was one simple example. And some other things, I think because I had been through deliverance before, it was more about tying up some loose ends and just, you know, understanding more about how to continue my walk and stay free. I think that the Christian people that I know that that seem the most genuine and seem to have the biggest impact are the ones that are free. And it really isn't that complicated, but it just seems to be where we stay stuck, and we don't need to stay stuck. So for me, just walking through the worksheet and having you ask me some questions really just allowed me, I think, you know, it's so easy to slip back, I think, into some old patterns and behavior sometimes. It really just allowed me to go back and kind of touch those up a little bit and kind of cut the cords again. So it was very refreshing, and it was very freeing. And I think it's just a process, you know, I feel equipped now to continue my walk and just be able to do this either with my, you know, on my own or with a friend, so I can constantly stay in a place of freedom, because it's certainly a place that's much more enjoyable to live your life out of that place.
Amen. Well, Christy, what was it like when I tried for the head demon? I remember anger came up. Was that an interesting phenomena?
Yeah, and it was even more than that. What surfaced was fear. And that was also interesting,
yeah,
because I didn't recognize that I had a lot of fear. But as we worked through it, boy, that one really kept surfacing as kind of over everything else. And I didn't recognize it. And so it was good to recognize. It was good to see it and process it. And the best thing about it was to get rid of it. So the whole process, again, was just a very good overhaul. And it was very encouraging for me to get the understanding that I did and to work through these things so that I don't have to carry that around, and to recognize how much fear was actually dictating and controlling the aspects of my life that I didn't really recognize that it was.
That was interesting. And, yeah, you know, when I first commanded the head demon to come up, this is pretty common, it happens a lot, anger first came up. A lot of times the head demon will push a junior demon out first, hoping that we'd settle on that one. But when I said to anger, are there any demons of equal rank higher than you? And it said no. And then when I said, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit, it said no. So I commanded,
<That's> right.
Okay, anger, who's above you in rank? Come up. And fear came up, and then I did the same with him, but he admitted he was number one, the big guy. And Yeah, obviously you'd been doing things in your life for some years, as is typical.
Right.
Most everybody's got some of that going on, and it's exciting to nail it down and then get it out. So have you seen some changes in your life since that certain deliverance?
Absolutely, and it's just the freedom that we've talked about before, and just a release and just a heaviness that's gone. You know, I think that, you know, fear is something that, you know, will resurface from time to time, and I think that Satan knows our areas that we're vulnerable in, but I just felt that it was dealt with and it was addressed, and that I wasn't carrying it any longer. So it was a great experience for me.
Praise God. And of course, there are occasions when these spirits will try to come back. That's why it's so important to realize that we have all power given to us by Jesus to come against these spirits. So, of course, if fear tries to come back, you'll know to resist it. As the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee.
Right. Right.
God,
it's a great equipping, and you know, it's just so worthwhile. I just wish it were more available to the body of Christ.
Yes, we all do, and of course that's why we're on the radio tonight, is to try to encourage others to look into deliverance. You know, since most everybody listening, unless they've had this type of ministry, they're probably carrying a number of evil spirits. They've come through the generational door and the unforgiveness door that everybody has open. It's so easy.
Right.
The flesh opens that door for us, you know. And these other doors, there's 15 doors we've learned about over these years that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians. So it'd be an extremely rare person this side of Jesus that doesn't have their share of demonic activity. Well, in the remaining minute, what would you say as we wind up here to the listeners?
Well, I would just encourage listeners to pursue this with the Lord on their own. I know it can sound a little off or a little frightening even, but it certainly is a place where I think the Lord wants us to live, in a place of freedom, and it is so worthwhile. And you know, the scriptures talk about it. So I think, you know, I would just encourage anybody that's listening tonight to pursue this and to get in the Word and get before the Lord and you know, just be obedient to the direction that He leads them to go.
Well, that's awesome. Great testimony, Christy. And
yes.
God bless you up there in Illinois.
Hey, Christy, I'd like to ask you a question for you off real quick.
All right,
Christy, I'd like to ask you a question. Christy, are you still there?
I'm here, yep.
Hello?
I'm just curious, what years were you at Kennecott? What years were you at Kennecott?
Years was I at Kennecott? I worked at Kennecott from, well, let me think, 1982 to 86, 7. I was there a long time. That was just back in the day when they had K1 and K2, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm from Hollister, so that's why when you said it, it really popped me up.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, hey. So, yeah. No, it's grown quite a bit since then. So, but I do appreciate your testimony coming on there, and thank you. I'm sure it edified somebody out there, and most of all, it glorified our Lord Jesus Christ.
I hope so. Thank you very much, Christy. You too, Everett.
Bye bye.
Wonderful testimony. You know, and it could be just something as simple as that. A lot of times, pastor people think, trauma has to be, you know, you got beat up as a kid or sexually abused or something. But it could be something as simple as having to move when you're at 8 years old and that's all you've known. And all of a sudden, well, I'm not there. That's a big difference from going from Florida to Ohio. I mean, that can be quite a bit of trauma. So don't think out there if in your life that, well, since I haven't had that, you know, I wasn't beat up or, you know, I didn't have any kind of horrible trauma, you'd really be surprised what trauma is in your life. Richard, I'm not getting any kind of text, so whenever our caller comes on, please let us know. But
that's
trauma
right.
Simple.
Oh, it'd be huge trauma, though, to an 8-year-old. That's their whole life. It suddenly just changed. And they've left their friends and all. So you can imagine that leave them with bad feelings. And that's what we did. We did inner healing on that trauma.
And any bad feeling, the enemy will use that. The enemy will use that. It may not be real noticeable in your life, and it may be something that as you got older, you forgot about. But just because there has been trauma doesn't mean that the door is open, but it's a good opportunity for the enemy to come in there and speak lies to you about what happened. And that's what we find a lot, is a lot of times we'll find, well, lies, especially children, what was your fault? Or, I know we've come across that before. I know that I have with people their parents divorced, and the enemy always convinced them, well, if they had done something different, maybe their parents had got divorced or something to that effect. But the trauma's there, and the inner healing is very, very important to go through the inner healing, and that's one of the things they do at Deliverance Ministries. And I'm fairly certain that the inner healing is talked about on the training videos. It's been a while since I watched them. But I know that it's been discussed many times there in Oklahoma City, up at the upper room when we've done the training.
Yes. Well, that's right. And that's what we cover constantly in teaching the trainees those steps. And, in fact, we do a renewal or just do it over and over again on those steps, even for the seasoned ministers. Kind of like in flying, you know, we have checks, the annual checks and all that we do, and that's what it is. It's good to renew your mind, as the Bible says, in this case, those steps, so that everybody's on the same page. By the way, I did text that lady that's due to call in, so hopefully she'll be calling shortly.
Well, repetition is definitely the key to learning, and it's almost like a muscle memory. That's why in the military they repeat over and over and over. So when you're in a high stress situation, that you have that muscle memory, you'll be able to remember it. And it's the same thing with teaching up there on Monday night. So it's you hear it, and you get a lot of that. Being stirred up by way of reminder, I think that's the way Peter refers to it in one of his books. But it is important to know these things and then to go back to them again and revisit them.
Yes, repetition. It's kind of like when I was in the Navy. You know, we had checklists, and of course, when I flew for close to 30 years, we had checklists every time in the airplane. You know, that I'd go through. And it was kind of funny sometimes. There'd be someone in the back that hadn't flown with me before, and they'd see me up there doing the checklist, and I've heard him say, oh, my gosh, he's having to read how to do it. I had never thought about it. Now, let's see. You push this and pull that.
All right. Well, Pastor, we have Karen. We have Karen. Karen, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
Hi, Karen.
How are you, Everett?
Hi, Karen.
Hi there.
I am blessed, and I know you are too. Ralph is
yes.
on here with me up in the Branson area. Well, Karen, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverances
sure.
were like and changes you've seen.
Yeah. Well, I am 60 years old, so I grew up in a little town in Illinois and raised in a Christian family. My parents were very active in church, so from the day I was born, I was taken to church nonstop, but they didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit at all. And as a kid, for some reason, I was a huge reader. I still am. And I just believed everything my Bible said. So I was hungry at a young age, even though the church I was in was fairly not alive, I would say. I'm always thankful, though. I got a huge hunger for the Word in that little church. So, but on the other side of it, though, as I grew up, I kept going, there's something more that I'm missing. And so fast forward, I think I was 30 years old, pregnant with my first child, and that hunger really started coming alive. Because I'm like, I just know there's more to God than keeping rules and what the church, what I had known to that point had been. So fast forward, it was really God just set me up. He was really kind to me and put really good people in my life that just started teaching me stuff. And the first woman was a lady I'm still friends with. Her name's Rita Blanche in Peoria, Illinois. And Rita was doing deliverance. And at that time, nobody even knew what it was. I think her church was even a little skeptical what it was. So I got connected to her, and the first time I did any deliverance was in a little tiny kitchen in the middle of Peoria, her and me. And I remember that very first time I went through deliverance, like everything started clicking for me, like everything made sense, like whether it was stuff that came through bloodlines or stuff that I'd opened doors to or whatever, soul ties, all those things just made so much sense. And that was really the beginning of my journey of really going, okay, there is a whole lot more to all of this Christian living than what I'd grown up with. So I got very, very hungry. And, oh, yeah, God has just been very kind to me because he would either put somebody in my path that I needed to get me through something or to teach me something. And so, so deliverance. Those many years ago, that was like a huge eye-opener for me. And just, I remember leaving her house after like 4 hours, and I felt like a truly just free human being. I just remember that feeling. And, ever since then, I've done deliverance with people, but it was so fun even coming back into your class, Everett, because you are a really good teacher. And it's fun just to see, like, people are still hungry. I think people today just don't realize, like, why they're under such oppression, or they don't understand why they still struggle with the same things, and why my mother did this, and now I'm doing this, and my grandmother did this, and all of those things. Just getting free from that stuff is just like total freedom. You know, you can really run and go after the Lord. So I love what you're doing, and I just applaud you. You've done this for 43 years, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's correct. That's right.
That's impressive.
It's been high adventure all the way.
Yeah, well, I can see
why.
Very
fulfilling.
Yeah. It is.
Mortgage
I haven't
tracker.
Done near what you've done, but every time I've done it with somebody, it just makes you so happy to see people get free. You know, truly free indeed, like Jesus said, you know, and then really start moving into what they're called to be.
I did a 30-minute deliverance today with a neighbor, and that problem disappeared, and hopefully this bleeding in his throat area he'd been having. He was getting ready to have some procedures or something in the next week or two. So hopefully that's it. But,
that's
we have
exciting
opportunities all around us. Well, how was your deliverance? You went through and had a touch-up, did you?
I did. And I even told the women that had me. Jen was running the room, and she was training another lady. She's really good, by the way. It was funny. I told her, I said, don't be disappointed. I've done this before a couple of times, so it's not going to be like the first time I did it, and that's when you really see change in people. But you know what? It was still really good. And she She even said at one point, she goes, I've never done this before, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to do this with you, Karen. And it immediately made me cry. Like, she was really in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I think everybody should even go for a tune-up, because I think you just start forgetting things that you know, or, I don't know, Satan never quits trying to defeat us. So it was very life-giving. I loved it. You've got a really good team. They did a great job.
I've forgotten who ministered to you, Karen. Who was that?
It was Jen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't remember
the lady she was training. I can't remember her name, but she was good, too. She was taking it all in.
Yeah, she's got the steps down really well. Yeah,
she does.
Well, you know, the teams, we all minister to each other from time to time. I have them come to my office ever so often. They want to touch up, you know. So,
yep.
You know, we're in the war zone. And
we are.
So we might pick up something here and there, or curses put on us, whatever. And
I know.
Behooves a person to do, yes, get a touch up ever so often.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent.
Well,
I was very thankful. I had had a really hard few years, and I don't know why. Just a lot of it was reminding you of stuff, but also it was just good to just feel God's love so strongly. So, yeah, I loved mm-hmm. it.
Did you get some inner healing as well? Some inner healing?
I did, yeah. Yeah, she did great. Yeah, it was funny. It was an old wound that, you know, you go, oh, I don't have anything left from that. But the more she started touching on it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I do. So it was. She nailed it. She did really good. I don't think it was like this spectacular
kind of,
you know, deliverance that I would say I got the first time I went through it. But it was still really good. I would just strongly suggest people go in as much as they, especially when you kind of feel like you're, I always tell my kids, I feel like I'm getting hooked by something. Then I kind of know something's off. And yeah, it's really good. And if anything, you just feel so loved by your team. They're really good at just being Jesus in that moment. So yeah, it was excellent.
I think we have the best ministry group we've ever had in our history, Karen.
Do you?
It's really
good for you
to have them there.
Yeah. Keep training them up, Everett, because there's a huge need. Yeah, I wish you were in Peoria, Illinois, because I would love you to meet Rita. In fact, when I was driving home, I told her about you, and so I told her I would bring your book to her so she could kind of compare how she does it, how you do it. But it's very, very similar.
Yes, I've often thought people that did it long ago, we all ought to be doing it kind of the same. Even though I find that still varies, there's still quite a few deliverance ministries that don't seem to have a door-closing prayer, which is a huge difference to us. When we finally start developing that door closing and make the ministry so much easier, and yes, we go home earlier. instead of the wee hours.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Through around 10:30. Oh my gosh! Well, I was doing one almost every night when I first got into this, and we didn't know to do the things we know today, and so
I know
it was a pretty hard ministry. And we go into the wee hours, and we thought louder was better, and
it was
exhausting for everybody.
Yeah.
And so
stuff you learn along the way that you wish you would have known before you started, you know, just to make your whole ministry a little bit easier to do.
And that's why somebody getting into it today, if they just pick up my book on doing the supernatural works of Jesus, that actually is a manual, a book manual that has steps in it. I would have loved to have had this book when I first started.
I know. I bet you would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I imagine she's probably going to get in touch with you because I'm sure she's going to want to get a couple of books. It's really well written, the way you've laid it out. So, yeah, I think it could help a lot of people that are in that ministry. Even if you're not in the ministry, I'm actually going to take it on vacation and kind of take my older kids through it. So I think it's pretty easy to use, too. So, yeah.
Praise God. Well, it's been high adventure, of course, again, all these years of seeing people set free and just keep at it. What amazes me, Karen, is how there's new people that come.
Yeah.
Every now and then somebody will come back that's been before, but probably 80-90% of the people that come on Monday nights, it's their first time. And it's been like
that
all these 37 years. 37 years we've done Monday nights. There are new people all the time. And I just, when I get to thinking about it, that's, where do they come from? You know? It's word of mouth, I guess, more than anything.
It is.
We probably hit critical mass on doing enough of these, of people talking enough, that it averages out. Coming. Now, we had 17 cases this last Monday, which was more palatable.
Yeah.
You know, we were, when we had those 25 the other night, we had mass deliverance. And
Yeah.
It was tough. Sometimes,
but I think it's the times we're in, too, don't you, Everett? I think there's so much more access to a pretty heavy demonic realm.
Oh my,
I just think people... They're seeing more than ever, you know, what's out there and the doors they've opened and then generational sin, all that stuff. That I think it's not so far-fetched anymore because the demonic isn't so far-fetched, you know. So I don't think you'll ever be done doing it. I think more people will start following suit, too. So hopefully more churches will start seeing the need for it and start learning from you.
I can see the day, Karen, when we'd be using the large church sanctuary
with
that church on Monday nights, and where we could do 300 or 400 of group ministry sessions.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have that many ministers, but I can see that many coming.
Yeah, I can, too. I think people are really getting desperate. My kids, in fact, they all, you know, are married and having kids. And one night my son goes, "Hey, Mom, there's some new people that moved in across the street that we got to know." And I said, "Oh, good." And he said, "Well, it was kind of a weird way. They came running over and they were renting this house. And they said, they just started asking my son and his wife, they knew they were Christians. And they said, there is stuff moving all over our house." And my son Christian goes, "Like moving? And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "It's been going on for nights." And they were terrified. And we were talking about that, and I told my son, I said, "Christian, I don't think this kind of stuff in the past would have been far-fetched, but now it's not." And I think that's why people are more apt, even the ones that don't know the Lord, are going to be hungry for this because of the level of the demonic activity they're seeing. So... I do. I agree with you, Everett.
Yes.
I think there's going to be mass kind of things where people are going to get really desperate and they want free. And you're going to be doing 300 and 400 people at a time. But I think God will help you to do it because there's such a need for it.
Karen, you'd be surprised how many calls we get that are like that where people have got demonic activity going on in their houses.
Oh, yeah.
A bed shaking and door slamming, and they're seeing dark forms and so on. And I have a chapter in my book on a checklist on how to deal with that. Well, Karen, we're out of time. As we wind up here, what else would you say to the listeners?
Oh, man, I would tell them that there is such a great freedom on the other side of deliverance and not to be afraid of it. Like, just jump into it because of what you're going to get on the other side. It's truly being free where you're not you're not dealing with that same nagging whatever that is that Satan's been at you with, and there is just such freedom. I just know I'm not the same person anymore because of deliverance that started 30 years ago. And because of it, my life is so much fuller and freer and more hopeful. I think when you're dealing with a demonic whatever in your life, you just don't have a lot of hope. You know, they're just beating you all the time. And people that are hopeless, which is a lot now in our world, you know, just the amount of junk that's being pumped out at them and all of that, that I think more now than ever, the church needs to really open their eyes and start getting their people in their congregation free so we can really change the regions that we live in, so we can really be the change Amen. That comes into a city, that we can be the people that will have our families will look different, our churches will look different, our cities will look different, because we'll have hope and we'll yes. we'll be able to hear the Lord's voice and follow His voice. But when you're constantly under that oppression, it's hard to live a life where you go, I'm bringing the kingdom, you know? So, yes, to
That's
all
so
your
true. Lives, we're out of time.
If
Karen,
you can get to Everett Cox,
God bless
get
you.
To his deliverance.
Thanks so much, Karen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes, Karen, thank you. Well, two great testimonies out of the way. Put it down. Testimonies yep. are awesome. They help us overcome. If you have any questions regarding deliverance or need it yourself, deliveranceusa.com or get the book written by Pastor Cox, as it's talked about, doing the supernatural works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich for the office at 307-742-7582. Then they'd like to have that book, and he will get it out to you. But we do thank everybody for taking time this evening to come and join us. We look forward to everybody being here next week. And as always, God bless, and I'll see you later, Pastor.
Yes, God bless everyone.
I have given you